back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.
Yes, and we still have on with us Ryan Weatherstone from Puckett and Redford.
Hello.
Thank you again. So we were just starting to dive into landlord-tenant issues, and I know we were saying as we come back from the break that we wanted to start focusing a little on Seattle because there's been a lot of – we've done a lot of shows. We've had Sean Martin from the Rental Housing Association on here several times, right?
Yes.
And, you know, we were thrilled when they helped get the first-in-time issue overturned, right? That was nice. But there's a lot of other stuff still going on.
There really is. And just kind of a plug for the Rental Housing Association.
Yes.
If you're a landlord and you're not a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, please join. It's inexpensive. The information is
invaluable.
Forms, forums, advice, vendors, you name it.
Leases.
It's really, really good in there.
Screening services.
Yep.
So phenomenal.
So go to rhawa.org, Rental Housing Association of Washington, and sign up. It's absolutely, you know, worth the time and the very, very small
yes.
amount of money it costs to join.
And the thing is, you know, I know we're going to be focusing some on the Seattle questions, but they cover multi-county. Actually, they're the state now, aren't
statewide.
They?
Statewide.
They're statewide. Mm-hmm. And their information they provide is for all these different municipalities. So they're not just Seattle focused. There's
no.
so many, because every little city has its own rules.
And they really are the voice in Washington State for a landlord, which,
yes.
you know, is vilified and, you know, everything else, especially if you listen to anything that the Seattle City Council has to say.
Oh, yeah.
So it's they're really, really a wonderful source of information and advocacy for landlords.
Yeah. Well, so. Your favorite person... They
yes.
had a when I did the legal forum with RHA and Ryan here, our favorite person, Shwarma, was
yeah.
out there with a protest across the street. It was very interesting. So we had a police presence at our function that was kind of interesting. I actually took pictures of
you
her.
Know,
I wanted to walk out there and actually invite her on our show because we keep trying to get her.
We both have invited her multiple times.
I
There's
know.
No way she's going to come on this show. There's no way.
Hey, Shwarma, you're invited.
Yeah, come on, join
Info
us.
Info at teamreba.com.
Yeah.
Call
hey,
me directly,
Shwarma.
206-910.
You have an economics background.
429.
So do I. Let's talk economics,
bring
shall
it,
we?
Baby.
Yeah,
oh, we're going to have a
on.
Throwdown in the studio.
Yeah.
I would love it so much. That would be the best show ever. We'd have to do that on Facebook Live, too, just in case it turned into a wrestling match.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I know Ryan's totally cracking up. Like, I don't want to send him into a coffee.
Yeah.
Fit.
Oh, don't get me started.
But, okay. Yeah, I know. You'll get all upset. So, okay. So, Ryan, let's get back to you.
And Seattle. Speaking of
and
Seattle.
And Seattle. Right. So, one of the other questions was whether or not, because part of the things that's going on in Seattle is like you can't have a deposit larger than 1 month's rent. But someone asked, are there any special circumstances where you can do more?
And that was an issue that was raised, and that's something that the city council took under advisement when they were trying to pass this law back in 2016. What happens when you have a tenant with a rental history or a bad credit history where
yeah.
you would allow them to be in your unit if they paid an additional deposit
exactly.
to secure you against any potential losses? And the city shot that down. So there really are no circumstances where you can require an extra deposit.
So who is that supposed to really benefit? I mean, because honestly, if someone then writes their rental criteria to say nobody with this background, well, that doesn't help the tenant.
And yeah, that was an issue that was raised by the landlord lobby and RHA specifically
right.
During these council meetings. It was something that they considered. They did not feel it was they did not feel it matched up with the legislation they wanted to push through. And so we have that very blanket and very hard prohibition against anything more than 1 month's worth of a rent.
And even that 1 month, can't a tenant require that be spread out over 6 months?
Correct. If it's a year-long lease or if it's a it depends on how long the lease is, but most leases are going to be about a year long. You
yeah.
can pay that in six equal installments, beginning with the very first month and the next 5 months after that.
But if the tenant asks for it, they're required to provide it, right?
Correct.
So that's the whole thing. Is I don't think a lot of tenants know that, but if that becomes more common knowledge, I have a feeling a lot of landlords are going to be kind of like, hey, wait a minute. What just happened?
No, that's already happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
yeah.
seeing that?
Yeah, I have personal friends who have decided to just sell their homes in Seattle and get
because
out of
they've
it.
Had it happen.
They're just sick of the hassle. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But so I'll give you an example. Let's say you've got a prospective tenant and they're new to the area. They have not established themselves. Maybe they're new to the country. And they want to prepay their rent for, let's say, 6 months. So to take the risk away from the landlord of not having a good credit check or something. Can a landlord accept that?
I mean, a landlord can charge. The prohibition is against non-refundable charges and what we call a security deposit.
Okay.
That's an interesting question. I'm not entirely sure how the Department of Construction and Inspections would view that type of issue if you require 2 months of rent paid up front, because it's not a deposit. Mm-hmm. A deposit is historically seen as the tenant's property you just put into your bank account or a bank account that you have.
I see.
As to where rent is actually the landlord's.
Got it. What are some other things that a landlord in Seattle specifically needs to be aware of or watch out for? Because I know sometimes the risk is not knowing what you don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of little laws. One of the ones that flies underneath the radar most often is every time there's a new tenancy or every time a tenant renews a lease agreement, you have to go ahead and provide them a packet that has been developed by the city of Seattle.
Yeah.
Failure to give them that packet means the tenant can go ahead and unilaterally terminate an existing lease agreement in the middle of the lease and owe nothing further after it. It basically makes it a month-to-month tenancy.
Now, you just said when you renew a lease, even.
And that was a law that was recently passed along with the deposit issues.
Oh, that's right. That came up a lot at the forum.
Now,
people were shocked by that.
What about a standard lease that it's, let's say it's a one-year lease, but after that the lease converts to a month-to-month? We okay there?
You have to provide it once a year.
Really?
At that point. And that's a new law that came into effect in, I think,
I told you
January.
This thing was fascinating. I was so glad that they asked me to help be, you know, moderator, whatever it was I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not moderate that often, so I'm a big personality.
Putting it lightly.
And the department will go ahead and they'll update this every now and again.
Yeah.
Maybe every 6 months, maybe every 3 months, whenever there's a major change in the law. And it is the landlord's requirement to go ahead and provide a brand new copy of that packet to the tenants within 30 days of the law change, which the landlords may or may not know about. And a lot of these things fly underneath the radar.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. I mean, so I'm even thinking of, like, there was one gentleman that I met at that event, and I unfortunately didn't get his contact info. He has mine. So if you're listening out there, please get in contact with me. But he had inherited 100 units in the city of Seattle. And he was like deer in the headlights after that event, just like, I need a property manager. Because I'm always a big proponent of people having property management because of exactly what we're discussing right now. Because property managers have to be on top of that kind of stuff, right?
Correct. In the city of Seattle, there are a lot of little laws. You need to have some experience if you're going to be handling multiple properties.
Right. Yeah, I have people ask me about adding property management to my portfolio of services. And I'm always reluctant for just these kinds of reasons, because I already have enough laws just on the buying and selling of real estate that to get into property management, I mean, that's a whole other level of knowledge base that, as you're saying, changes all the time. You know, it's one thing when we get occasional form changes, you know, and other things that impact the purchase and sale of things, but rental laws change so much more frequently.
Yeah, what else in Seattle does a landlord need to be worried about?
The biggest one is probably the Just Cause Eviction Ordinance.
Okay.
And that was a law that was passed around 1980, and it's been amended a few times since that point. But the intent behind that was to prohibit arbitrary terminations of the tenancy. And so they have a list of about six at this point.
Or someone being penalized, like maybe they don't get along with their landlord, and the landlord's like, get out, too bad, doesn't matter if you have a lease.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's about 16 reasons at this point. It's grown to about a list of 16 different reasons. Most of them allow you to go ahead and terminate a tenancy if the tenant is not paying the rent or if they're not following the terms of the lease agreement. You can't just issue a 20-day notice to terminate the tenancy, though. You need to state what the just cause reason is. And that's going to apply to lease agreements that continue on month to month after their initial term. or month-to-month tenancies. The one situation in which it does not apply, in which RHA has gone ahead and created a lease form or a little lease checkbox to go ahead and address this issue, is what we call terminating lease agreements. Lease agreements that do not have the right to hold over after that initial term. You have to leave at the end of that term. The reason behind that is the law prohibits a landlord from issuing a notice, not terminating the tenancy. So it's just if the landlord issues a notice, that can be a violation of the law. With a terminating lease contract, no notice is required in order to terminate.
It just stops. It okay, just but you stops. Have to add that specific language to the lease itself.
Oh, wow.
What if I'm selling a home?
I know, that's exactly where I was going, because I work with people selling property all the time that tenants are there, right?
Yes. So and in the city of Seattle, there are I want to talk about two different things. Number one, condos, which are treated differently. Condos and townhomes, which are treated differently. And then there are your standard single-family home.
Right.
So if you're selling a single-family home, you can go ahead and issue a 90-day notice of your intention to sell the home.
But it is 90 days. A lot of people don't realize that.
90 days. And you have to have it on the market within, I believe, 60 days after the tenant vacates the property.
Wow.
You can go ahead. That is one of the just cause reasons to terminate the tenancy. One of the questions that I received a lot when I did work for the Department of Construction and Inspections was, what about my condo? I want to sell my condo. I only own one of them. I need to sell it.
Right.
Condo does not fit the definition of a single family home in the city of Seattle.
Because it's not detached.
Because it's not detached.
What about townhomes?
They don't have their own foundation. And so that doesn't count as a single family dwelling unit either.
Is that true, though? Because I've sold townhomes where I've heard that they actually have, like they build them as single envelopes. Mm-hmm. Even though they have a shared wall, they've got their own envelope. Is that really?
I guess what we look at for the definition of a single family home is it attached or is it if it's completely detached and has its own foundation, it's going to be considered a single family home.
But townhomes don't count either.
Maybe my definition of townhome, I'm not quite clear on what my definition of townhome is, but it's, the definition of single family house is found within the code. And if it doesn't fit that definition, you can't use that reason.
I have a little homework to do, I think, after this, because we have people who come to us all the time. They're like, hey, I want to sell my place. And I'm like, oh, well, you have somebody there. And, and sometimes people have just roommates. Does any of this apply if it's a roommate situation, even if they're on a lease? Well, actually, we're going to have to answer that when we get back from the break.
Right, right. So when we come back, we've got more questions for Ryan Weatherstone with Puckett and Redford. More on Open House of Team Reba. Stay tuned.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.